Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker. Our distinguished Prime Minister, Honorable Stephen King, esteemed colleagues, members opposite, ladies and gentlemen of the gallery, fellow Sambrusians at home and abroad, I rise, Mr. Speaker, to address this honorable house and by extension the sons and daughters of our beautiful family. Mr. Speaker, let me first of all set the record straight on about three issues. Mr. Speaker, imagine, sir, Sir Market Lisi, or the issue, lay back was on the Azeko. Imagine, sir. Oh, what a joke. Mr. Speaker, this is my response to the member for the Fort North. And this is a very, very good example of a bluff. And I am calling it. Mr. Speaker, I also need to point out to the member for Kashmir South, and I asked him, were you there? Oh, I think the member said he was away studying. You see, when it comes to this government social record to that of the previous administration, there is absolutely no comparison, Mr. Speaker. And I will just give you a few examples. You know, we probably need a refresher course or something. Just a few examples. The St. Lucia Development Bank. Two, school transportation subsidy. Three, industry. Their fashion, for example. Henry Farm Company. SLBGA. So, Upper Lewis Community College, Mr. Speaker, including the teachers and the nurses. The Eastern Games and all of the other games we had going around this country. Or if you just want me to say, just us. The General Hospital. The banana industry, Mr. Speaker. And I can go on and on and on and on. Mr. Speaker, on social responsibility, I rest my case. I also want to point out something else, Mr. Speaker. The previous administration, I believe, should have had the member for Sufre as an FBI agent or a CIA agent to solve the crimes in our fair name. Oh boy, he's good. the members feel it's okay to just come to this honorable house and probe it, and hopefully he's going to catch a fish. Anyway, Mr. Speaker, at the time, Mr. Speaker, when trade liberalization threatens to engulf small island developing states of ours, we need all the support and care that has been provided by our budget. At this time, Mr. Speaker, sometime last year, our great leader, Sir John, left us. But we are confident that he is watching from above. And I can hear him say, do not listen to those who sit on the other side of political midnight. They are in the dark. They may be quick to say that the situation appears hopeless. Sir John's heavenly reassurance to the citizens of this country is that there are no hopeless situations. And I can see him looking down at us, saying, there are only men on this other side who have grown hopeless about the situation that so exists. Mr. Speaker, you see, it is very clear by the doom and gloom we have heard from the other side of the political aisle. It's unbelievable. The everlasting spirit of our legendary social engineer, Sir John George Melvin Compton, is reflected in few things free with footing. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do forgetting, that this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark. The current global economic slowdown is no doubt having an effect on this country. Mr. Speaker, the question to be asked is, what are the core values of this budget? They are, Mr. Speaker, creating prosperity, people empowerment, sustaining livelihoods, and investing in social assets. This is what the Prime Minister means by real independence. Mr. Speaker, this government will discuss with the people in every nook and cranny, in all the towns and villages of this country, in community halls, all around this country. The idea is to show with them and to share with them, to explain to them the plans and programs of the budget. This, Mr. Speaker, is what we mean by real people power. Truly, this is democracy at work. Hardcore democracy. This is not what we will face before. Who knows? If there was heavenly intervention, I wonder what might have happened. Mr. Speaker, this is the very core and heartbeat of social engineering, broken down in distilled concentrates and articulated by our Prime Minister on page 43 of his budget address. And I quote, we know that if we manage the economy properly, business will flourish. More rewarding jobs will be provided, and this will redound to the benefit of all for an improvement in the quality of life. Unquote. This government is not conducting its business like the former administration did. We are concerned about every single individual in this country, not some. Mr. Speaker, it is clear that the past administration conducted the affairs of this Fair Helen in a way that can only be described as maladministration. Mr. Speaker, you see, it is better for a group of sheep to be led by a lion than for a group of lions to be led by a sheep. Mr. Speaker, the social considerations of this budget is buttressed perfectly with the environmental considerations that are reflected on pages 34 to 49 of the budget presentation. Marine forest and wetland conservation, declaration of nature reserves, focus on climate change, national land policy, and coastal ecosystem management. No matter how you turn it, no matter where you look, we are concerned about Fair Helen, and we will take good care of our people and of our environment. Mr. Speaker, this government of the United Workers Party is ever mindful that in order to be effective as an instrument of economic development and poverty, budget formulation must strive to promote fiscal discipline and macroeconomic stability, strategic resource allocation and enhancement of productive capacity and operation efficiency. Mr. Deputy Speaker, this budget does all that and more within the context of our limited resources. We know the resources are limited. We don't have gold, we don't have oil, and so we will do what we can in these circumstances to help our people and to help them successfully. Mr. Deputy Speaker, it is in this regard that I particularly wish to congratulate our distinguished Prime Minister on an excellent budget presentation, and I sincerely look forward to its efficient implementation. I also wish to thank the staff of the Ministry of Finance and all the other ministries who contributed to putting this budget together so that our people can be rescued from the maladministration of the last administration. Mr. Deputy Speaker, this is a government that will not only act in a responsible manner but show leadership in these challenging and uncertain economic times. And I can openly say, Mr. Deputy Speaker, that this budget is reasonable, it is practicable, it is a responsible budget, and it is a workable budget. No matter what you might hear uttered from those who will never see the light of day because they did not protect the people of this country, they did not manage the affairs of this country properly, and so they are doomed. This budget, Mr. Deputy Speaker, is for the farmers, it is for the teachers, it is for the civil servants, it is for the private sector, it is for the vendors, it is for the informal sector. This is a cross-cutting budget towards empowerment and prosperity of St. Lucia. We have gone one step further to ensure that policy decisions consider the effective effect on future generations. In this budget, Mr. Deputy Speaker, this budget is not only the most important economic statement of the year, but it is a budget of character and vision. It reflects the solid shelter amid the global economic storm. This budget makes it clear as it pronounces on the making of a bright, vibrant economic future. Mr. Deputy Speaker, let the critics question the commitment of investors to the project initiatives to commence in 2008-2009. The Prime Minister outlined some of the development areas that are going to be looked at in 2008-2009, from page 13 to 17 of the budget presentation. Redevelopment of the Tashwish Business District, development of the Tashwish Cruise Port, development and expansion of VFO Port, development and expansion of the VFO Free Zone, and the list goes on and on. All of these proposed investments have been undertaken with a reduction in the planned budgetary expenditure, 1.16 billion. Mr. Deputy Speaker, all of this is happening while at the same time improving the debt to GDP ratio to a sustainable and manageable level. We are working on it. It's going to be difficult, it's going to be tough, but at the end of the day, we will achieve our goals. Mr. Deputy Speaker, all this is done through the strategy and of the vision to implementation, rallying our people for development in an era of global opportunities and challenges. Mr. Deputy Speaker, I too share this vision, and I agree that this budget is an investment in the future of St. Lucia. PM, our great leader, Sir John, would be proud of you. Thank you, sir. Mr. Deputy Speaker, I now turn my attention to the Ministry of Labour, Information and Broadcasting, and later on I will deal with a few matters from my constituency. The foresight and vision of our government is indeed profound to make certain that a new and separate Ministry of Labour, Information and Broadcasting was established. Mr. Deputy Speaker, this means full commitment, focus and attention will be given to this ministry, and that it will no longer be sidelined and relegated to an appendage of insignificance by being merely attached to another ministry. We are now taking care of labor. Finally, there is a permanent home for this ministry. Mr. Deputy Speaker, the task is mine as the Commander-in-Chief of this ministry. That is right, to cultivate, manage and sustain an enabling environment where labor and industry can thrive. It is not useless talk that will do it, you know. It is commitment and perseverance. Just like this budget, Mr. Deputy Speaker, industrial harmony must be balanced and consistent to the sensibility of responding to the needs of the stakeholders and partners in the development thrust of this country. The key concept and approach is one of consultative proactiveness. Simply put, I intend to move steadily to strengthen tripartism and promote social dialogue among all concerned. And basically, the trade unions and the employers, we're going to bring them together and we will discuss. whatever that we have to do. We as a government don't have to pay off anybody for harming in this country. We as a government, you know, don't allow people of this country to sell themselves. We as a government provide an enabling environment for business to thrive and for the persons in this country to attain very high levels of productivity. It is the goal of my ministry to cultivate a harmonious and balanced relationship with our social partners, so as to move away completely from any previous antagonistic or confrontational approach. It is very clear, Mr. Deputy Speaker, that for tripartism to flourish, mutual respect, cooperation and dialogue must be the basis that guides how trade unions, employers and government relate to each other, not by putting persons in this country in strategic places to cause disruption in the development of this Sahel. Consequently, Mr. Deputy Speaker, this government strongly believes in the urgent need to revitalize the mechanisms in place for strengthening social dialogue. It will be the ministry's vision to broaden and strengthen the scope of social dialogue, to ensure that the goals of decent work and full employment are not compromised in the national economic and social policy agenda. We have the business of this country to take care of, and we're going to do it regardless what is in our way. To work with our social partners when necessary to assist in strengthening their capacity to take on a wider development role. Our social partners have a role to play. They have a lot to offer as we try to develop this beautiful country of ours. Too many times, Mr. Deputy Speaker, political affiliation come in the way of development. And this thing is keeping this country back. This is preventing this country from progressing. And we must put a stop to it once and for all. We are going to work to harmonize and finalize the labor legislation, the labor code. We come to hard, we said we will do it, but it will be done. And I will make certain that all relevant parties are consulted and to ensure that we can complete the process sooner rather than later. I will give this issue some more time as I develop this presentation. We will develop policies and programs to address the obstacles to decent and productive work faced by Saint Lucians. Saint Lucians need to make a living. Saint Lucians need to be able to earn a good salary and to be able to afford themselves a good home and to live and retire when the time comes, not in hardship. And we are going to see to it that whatever is done is to the benefit of our people. We will protect and guarantee workers, employers and trade union rights and interests. Mr. Deputy Speaker, naturally to achieve this full, and I repeat, full cooperation from workers' representatives or bargaining agents and employers must be given. We will lead, but we expect reciprocity in return. I intend to preside over a ministry that will be more open, that will definitely be cooperative and media friendly. Public relations and industrial service unit of that ministry. Mr. Deputy Speaker, upon assuming the portfolio of Labour Information and Broadcasting Minister, I am immediately embarked on a campaign of consultations and dialogue through a series of courtesy calls to the trade unions and employers. During the period under review, April 2007 to March 2008, Saint Lucia experienced much activity in economic sectors like construction and tourism. Mr. Deputy Speaker, as usual, the Department of Labor has had to respond to a multiplicity of grievances arriving out of strained relations between employers and employees. Reports from the department reveal that it intervened in numerous complaints, of which a settlement rate of 84.25% was achieved, in comparison to 82% in the previous year. Just a slight improvement. However, the service of the Labor Department was also enlisted for the settlement of disputes of a collective nature. There were instances of deadlock, and the conciliatory services of the department were activated to prevent industrial disharmony. Mr. Deputy Speaker, the department intervened on 11 of such occasions. In the vast majority of cases, settlement was reached, and in the case of one dispute, the parties had to go to the next stage and present the cases before a tribunal. Mr. Deputy Speaker, we also realize that a greater number of employees are seeking trade union representation, a right enshrined in law. Incidentally, the process is not without challenges, but the department, by and large, has successfully carried out its mandate in this regard. There have been long outstanding issues of this nature that we settled during this short tenure of mine. During this last budget year, Mr. Deputy Speaker, trade unions submitted 11 applications for recognition. 6 of these applications were successfully processed and recognition granted. In the case of 4, the polls were taken and the trade union failed to receive the required majority. It is encouraging to note that employees are recognizing the need to form a united voice, a unity that can be utilized to boost productivity at the workplace. And this is something that we need in this country. We need to increase on productivity so that employers can be happier, profits can be maximized. And so our country can flourish and expand. Plan for the next budget cycle. A very important aspect of the department mandate is workplace inspection. During the last budget year, the department inspection services suffered owing to the volume of complaints received, as well as other staffing constraints. However, Mr. Deputy Speaker, we recognize that workplace inspection not only enables the department to ensure legislated standards, but it can also serve as a preventative measure. With more employers and employees contacted on the field of work, the objective of inspection, their rights and responsibilities will be further emphasized. It is with this rationale in mind that the department intends to develop a program that will fully utilize the inspection machinery and put officers into greater contact with workers and employers. Mr. Deputy Speaker, additionally, the department will focus on its educational role. This sensitization drive will mean lectures at schools, for example, or discussions at workplaces, so that persons will be more informed of the labor legislation and proper industrial relations. The good result of this will be a calm industrial relations climate, one that is conducive to investment, local as well as foreign. Because the budget speaks of us getting the maximum from investors and having such a climate that is conducive to this type of development. Another unit, Mr. Deputy Speaker. The Occupational Health and Safety Unit. Global competitiveness requires standards, workers' protection, and partnership to be successful. Research and case studies have shown that workplace practicing good stewardship, worker participation, and environmental, occupational health, and safety programs are more productive than those that are not applying these concepts. Mr. Deputy Speaker, this office requires an upgrade in personnel to further strengthen its capabilities and output. And this we are working in towards achieving. We will be examining the possibilities of making this unit a separate unit of statutory authority. The Health and Safety Unit deals with complaints, requests for intervention, notification of employment injuries, requests for training, and meetings. Mr. Deputy Speaker, the unit assisted with the hosting of an ILO tripartite sensitizing workshop on HIV and AIDS and the world of work. The workshop is an integral part of the fast track initiatives being used by the ILO to scale up its workplace response to HIV and the stigma and all the other things that are associated with HIV. The unit is responsible for assisting in the monitoring enterprise and it's the level type of action of the registered companies. The unit prepared a draft HIV/AIDS workplace policy which will be taken to Cabinet for consideration and policy implementation. Mr. Deputy Speaker, we best remember good health is good business and work-related ill health is costing us millions every year. And even if it is through low productivity, absenteeism, etc. It must be remembered that occupational health and safety is not only a key prerequisite for achieving decent work, but also a major positive factor in favor of economic growth and productivity. Another unit, Mr. Deputy Speaker, the Knowledge, Information Management and Employment Unit. The unit can be proud of its achievements for 2007, especially as it relates to the employment section. In collaboration with various Canadian firms, employment agencies and the OECS Labour Services Office, the unit manages three Canadian-based employment programs, namely the Canadian Seasonal Farm Workers, Tomax Works, and the Canon Ski Golf and Country Club. Collectively, these three programs recruited 259 Saint-Lucian workers for employment in Canada. The Canadian Seasonal Farm Workers Program. Mr. Deputy Speaker, this program has been in existence for over 40 years, and it is also the most successful. In 2007, 161 workers were employed among 26 farms across Canada. Over $2 million dollars were paid out in salaries to these workers. And, you know, these are the benefits accrued year after year after year after year. So we can see the significance of such a program. As a direct result of the compulsory savings plan, you know, we're not just sending our workers up to Canada. There's an element of a compulsory savings that they have to partake in, so that at least when they return home, they will have something. They will not have spent all of it in Canada or whatever. And our imaginations can go wild. A 25% deduction from their wages, which is paid to the workers on their return to St. Lucia. Remittances totaling 525,000 were distributed, EC that is, were distributed among returning workers. and this, like I said, happens year after year, each year. Mr. Deputy Speaker, this makes a significant contribution to the economic development of St. Lucia, and in particular the rural communities where most of our workers reside. We anticipate growth in both remuneration and remittance as the number of workers is expected to increase as we move on. During this recruitment season, we have so far interviewed 111 new applicants. 53 of those were approved and 42 have been assigned to farms in Canada. Let me move to VOMAX, Madam Speaker. VOMAX is our newest employment initiative. It is in collaboration with the VOMAX Employment Agency. Submissions are hired for the Alberta Canada job market. Many positions in the hospitality, manufacturing, warehousing, construction industries are available to locals. 72 workers were deployed during 2007 within the various industries. Mr. Deputy Speaker, our initial assessment of the program is expected to generate tangible returns to St. Lucia. The Ministry of Labour and the Government of St. Lucia are very keen on developing this program to its fullest capacity. To this end, our government and VOMAX are in discussion for the formulation of a memorandum of understanding to strengthen their relationship and to provide for a more sustainable program, so that at the end of the day we will be able to attract a lot more of our workers going into Canada to work and to get a decent living for themselves and their family. Let me move to the Canadian Sea Turf and Country Club program. Mr. Deputy Speaker, 2019 missions have been recruited to work in the hospitality sector as far as this program is concerned. Let us look forward. This budget here. During 2008, Mr. Deputy Speaker, the employment section will be engaging its stakeholders with the aim of improving the structures and relationships with which we have fostered a relationship over the years. This, we hope, will create the momentum and the impetus to securing more overseas jobs for St. Lucia. Great emphasis will also be placed on securing job opportunities for female workers. And this, most of the job opportunities have been for males. There have been a few female farmers who have gone up to work in the seasonal farm program, but we're looking at other places, other avenues, so that our females can get an opportunity themselves. We are also in discussion with a regional security firm from Trinidad who is seeking to recruit security guards from St. Lucia. Mr. Deputy Speaker, a cruise ship employment project may soon be coming on stream later this year. In the meantime, we are continuing our search for new employment avenues for our workers. And all of this will help us improve capacity in this country and help with unemployment. Mr. Deputy Speaker, to keep in tune with the growing demand for both local and foreign workers, the unit will seek to improve its employment database, which will provide relevant information to both employers and job seekers. Let me move to the work permit unit, Mr. Deputy Speaker. The work permit unit is a critical and vital unit of the ministry and the government. It is the only revenue-generating section of the Labour Department, and it is collecting revenue. As we look through some of the things that happened with the previous administration, it was like some companies had a blanket or had an open check when it comes to getting work permits. Some companies were even given percentage off work permit fees. And this denied the government of a lot of revenue. And we are looking into the legality of this. Who's at home, Mr. Deputy Speaker? Let us look at the Caribbean single market, the key elements of which are the free movement of skilled labor, goods and services, capital, and the right to establishment. This can affect what you do, how you issue work permits, etc. We have seen over the year more movement of people within the region, and with this, people are flowing into San Jose. The eligible categories of workers we have to deal with are the nurses, the media workers, the musicians, the artists, the sportspersons, the university graduates. People in these categories have a guaranteed right to seek employment under the CSM. And when those persons come to St. Lucia, we have to deal with them. Mr. Deputy Speaker, this means that they have the right to gainful employment in any of the member states which are part of the CSM arrangements, including St. Lucia. Initiatives to be taken. Mr. Deputy Speaker, I am committed to a more equitable work permit system, committed to providing a more stable industrial environment in order to enhance investment and employment opportunities in Indonesia. I'm committed to engage the trade unions and employers in the private sector in tripartite discussions to promote good industrial relations. Committed to establish a national productivity council comprising of trade unions, employers, and government representatives. If we do not look seriously into this, we might be in a lot of trouble, because the persons coming around seeking work, a company filing for work permits for employees, determine that they do not have the skill set that they require so that the business can prosper and progress. And so, Mr. Deputy Speaker, we have to be very mindful. There are challenges confronting the work permit committee, or the work permit unit, sorry. One of the major difficulties is that of monitoring. The unit is grossly understaffed. As only two persons have been employed in that unit for some time now to run this entire country. Every effort, Mr. Deputy Speaker, will be made to reverse this situation by increasing the staff complement, and we are looking into this. It must be pointed out that employers are very cooperative and timely with the employer's return. The employer's return is an important verification tool in respect of how many people are working with a valid work permit. And we know in some that there are persons working without a valid work permit. And I strongly believe that action should be taken as far as this is concerned. Tough action. We will be taking some tough action in order to ensure that all non-nationals are indeed working with a valid work permit. What are we going to do? In this regard, A work permit amnesty will soon be proposed. We want to ensure that all concerned regularize their stay in intermission according to the laws of the land. It is important that we maintain a cordial relationship with employers and the public in general, so we are giving those concerned a chance to ensure that they are working in the state of simulation legally. Let's move quickly to the government information service. And the Department of Information Services. The Department of Information Services oversees the various information units of the ministry. Upon analysis, it is clear that the bulk of the GIS workload is as far as the department role as a disseminator of government information. This lies in the area of television production. The establishment of the National Television Network, the NTN, has served to provide the department with a much-needed avenue for carrying its many and varied television productions, Like radio, television programs are produced both in English and Creole. Mr. Deputy Speaker, the department will seek to re-establish its Creole presence through the production of its weekly television program, Refleshy, and its daily choral program, Nouvelle Nous-Mêmes. No doubt, MTN plays a critical and will play a pivotal role as a public broadcast system. It is able to assist non-governmental organizations and partner institutions to disseminate invaluable public information at no cost. Of late, the GIS and NTN have taken a quantum leap and are in the business of carrying Senate meetings live. For the first time in history, Mr. Deputy Speaker, emphasis on holistic sports development is on the agenda. NTN, with the cooperation of Cable and Wireless, was able to bring the inter-secondary school sports live, a movement that was highly regarded by the general public. We intend in the future to carry more sports events live so as to grow the confidence of our athletes and to bring to your living rooms and the performances of your sons and daughters of St. Lucia.
Honorable Member, you have 15 more minutes within which to complete your presentation. Honorable Member, for me, sir.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to invoke a standing order for the defense to allow the Honorable Member for Henry South a further 15 minutes to complete his presentation.
Honorable Members, the question is that standing order 42.10 be invoked to enable the Honorable Member an additional 15 minutes within which to complete his presentation. I now put the question, as many as of that opinion say aye, as many as of a contrary opinion say no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it. Leave is granted, Honorable Member.
Thank you, members. Thank you, Mr. Deputy Speaker. Notwithstanding the remarkable job that the Governing Commission is undertaking, this has been done against tremendous odds. We met a department with staff who were generally demoralized. For yet, the department was without a principal information officer. We found existing equipment at GIS in a condition that does not support productivity. And GIS also suffers from lack of adequate space. We are in the process of changing those dire situations for the better. Mr. Deputy Speaker, it is a process that will not happen overnight, but a process that has started and must continue. We have also invested over $100,000 to purchase much needed equipment for the department. Recently, two technicians were employed to fill in vacancies that had existed for some time. Mr. Deputy Speaker, we recognize the challenges that we have faced, but we also appreciate the value of information dissemination to our people, both in English and in Europe. Mr. Deputy Speaker, recently the GIS held a successful staff retreat to chart the way forward. Coming out of the retreat is a comprehensive restructuring plan that we are now looking at carefully. This government commits itself to doing all that it can to assist the hardworking staff at the Government Information Service. Very quickly, Radio St. Lucia. Radio St. Lucia Limited presently carries a heavy debt burden. You know, I just believe that there's some information there that the public of St. Lucia needs to know. In addition to high operational costs, and it faces stiff competition from the market that it is in. Last year, liabilities total at GIS $2.7 million. $1.7 million of that is an outstanding long-term loan balance. The balance represents amount owed to NIC, HMS, Radio St. Lucia's heavy indebtedness is hampering the development and progress of the station. And that's what I need to mention this. The facility needs urgent upgrading. The building is in dire need of renovation and a facelift. There is also the problem of lack of proper storage facility. In preserving very valuable materials from the archives of Radio St. Lucia. There is also a technical requirement for Radio St. Lucia, Mr. Deputy Speaker. There is an urgent need for broadcast equipment at Radio St. Lucia. Just recently, the supporting antenna tower at Mulashik in PFR was done by Hurricane Dean. At this time, we want to say that Radio St. Lucia is now grateful to the government of Taiwan for making it possible to procure a much needed generator that will now ensure that RSL remain on air in case of a power outage on the month. Quickly, the way forward for RSL. Radio St. Lucia Limited continues to play a pivotal role in the broadcast of events and activities that are not heard by other media houses. RSL's responsibility to educate and inform the public impedes the station's ability to compete effectively. Mr. Deputy Speaker, in order to carry the mandate of RSL, there must be an urgent injection of capital into the station to allow it to undertake the projects mentioned above. Let me at this time move to the labor court, which I promised. This initiative started under the United Workers' Party, working together with the International Labor Organization. The goal was to put legislation in place to protect workers' rights, as well as the concerns of employers on an equitable and harmonious basis. We on this responsible side will not do like others. We rush the labor court just to score cheap political points. St. Lucians are right through that. And we know that because of the results that were obtained in 2006. Those on the other side must learn to listen to the voice of the people, because the voice of the people is heavenly. We do not intend to create or promote an atmosphere of mistrust among the social partners. This matter can only lead to the detriment of workers and cause concerns for potential investors. Our intentions on the labor code are very clear. And it was made so in our manifesto. We said the United Workers Party will immediately review the labor code, giving trade unions, employers, and the general public a further opportunity to examine those contentious provisions and produce an act that is acceptable to all parties. This is what we said, and this is what we intend to do. What we intend doing. This government has taken a holistic approach to the country's development. And this is how we are going to treat the enactment of this labor code. This involves both dialogue and consultation. The issue of the code and minimum wage is not only a labor relations issue, but it has wide social and economic implications. We are in the times when we're looking forward to a lot of investment locally and from abroad. And we have to be careful as to what we do, the provisions that are in there, etc. We have to protect everybody's rights, workers and employers. Madam Speaker, therefore a reasonable government will not repeat the errors of the last government. The pressure of enacting the code has begun. The National Consultative Council has been launched. As part of our program to enhance social dialogue, I have engaged the trade unions and employers' representatives and indicated our intentions. Madam Speaker, I remain committed to have this process completed and have the code enacted well within this fiscal year. Madam Speaker, this government is always with the workers of this country. Our party, after all, is named the United Workers' Party. And this is gospel. Madam Speaker, I also want to assure you, the members opposite and all solutions at home and abroad, and in particular the trade unions, that we will have a labor code and that the cooperation, support, and collaboration as partners in the government of the country, and we will be most welcome. This will be most welcome in finalizing the code. Constituency matters, Madam Speaker. I firmly believe that nothing, Madam Speaker, is more honorable than a grateful heart. My heart is eternally grateful to the wonderful people of the New South for the opportunity to represent the interests, hopes, and aspirations. I know that they are hopes. I am a very hopeful individual. Madam Speaker, I want to make it very clear that in the New South, that it is stforall.com. And you can go on the website right away, stforall.com. Not for some. And I will keep repeating this. This is how the former administration operated. I can remember there was some time ago, at a convention in Sufra, the members of the Assembly Labour Party were told to, you know, keep straight. You know, some of you have received your fair share, you know, but the others, things are coming. But we don't operate like that. We deal with this country holistically. We deal with everybody fair and square. I mean, there are persons in this country playing politics with everything, and this can be detrimental to the development of this country. I want to make this clear. Some persons forget that they had a chance to operate, and they must now give us that chance, the chance that the people of St. Lucia voted for, to let us operate, to allow us to deliver to them. And if I must remain in today, elections took place December 11, 2006. And you lost. So give us a chance. I am currently working in the best interest of every Ghanaian, and by extension, every St. Lucian. And I know my constituents have seen progress and will continue to see progress in that beloved community, Ghanaian South. The people of Ghanaian South cannot be mama guy. They can see right through the gimmicks of the St. Lucia River Party. Our heartfelt thanks and appreciation to the government and people of the Republic of China and Taiwan for the level of support provided to this constituency. Madam Speaker, the projects and programs undertaken within the constituency have certainly transformed the lives of many by generating much needed employment during the tenure of the construction phase of the various projects. The projects were well received by the community at large and have rejuvenated the life within the district. In the result, Madam Speaker, we undertook a clinical review of our situation prior to our intervention, and hereby chose to undertake projects which not only created employment, but also directly impacted the lives of constituents, young and old. These projects were also meant to improve the aesthetic as well as the quality of life of the community. The project management mechanisms by which the projects were undertaken were also carefully thought out to ensure that there was accountability and value for money in the execution. Last fiscal year, 2007-2008, we consolidated our efforts and determined that we needed to focus on very basic and fundamental improvements which would serve to increase the livability of the constituents, and therefore the following projects were undertaken. The Henry Multipurpose Center Rehabilitation Project. Rehabilitation works were undertaken at the Multipurpose Center, inclusive of landscaping, fencing, and outdoor courts. Drainage projects were undertaken in Lakai and Delaide, Mongerel and Austin Road. Number of footpaths connecting some roads and providing the constituents with much relief were undertaken. Victoria Street to General Hospital, and I call this a master plan. Delaide Road to Lakai Ring Road, Delaide Inner Relief Road, Lakai Main Road to Development Area, Rocky Lane, and in Lakote, three major footpaths were undertaken. Roads, Madam Speaker. A number of areas within the continents are now provided with vehicular road access. Green Mountain, Borovelle, Lakai Inner Road, the Denry Hospital area. Drainage for these roads will begin in the not too distant future. Soon. We also did the fencing of the nursing quarters at the Denry Hospital. And we provided three elderly people with homes which were constructed in the village thanks to a private sector intervention. Madam Speaker, the sporting and social life of the community has been re-energized. And talk about social responsibility and social conscience. Every time I hear Lobo talking about this, it does something for me. Persons who are not concerned about our people at all, talking about we not having a social conscience. The village council is active. It has begun to make tremendous improvements to the community. The Youth and Sports Council has been re-energized, and the impact of its intervention is manifested in the increased participation in sports and other youth-related activities. And this will continue, Madam Speaker. We look forward to a 2008-2009 period. And as we reflect on the achievements for the past, we plan to continue some of the physical infrastructure projects that we began in 2007. It is also my intention to ensure that a comfort station is built, High Street, Denry, called Comfort Station High Street Mall. Madam Speaker, to construct a comfort station with washroom facilities on the site of the old Denry Police Station. I will also include a craft vending and refreshment booth, as well as an upstairs viewing point for visitors. This will also serve as a major bus stop in the center of the village. Improvement in water infrastructure. Madam Speaker, I intend to install 4-inch mains, treated water pipes in Green Mountain. Right now, this does not exist, and in the White Rock area. Persons living in those areas have to run how many lengths of pipes from, you know, far away so that they can get pipe-borne water. And we will change this soon. This will serve as an expansion to the water infrastructure upgrade project currently being undertaken within the village. As this process is taking place, all the roads in the community have been damaged, and I'm looking forward that the Ministry of Communications and Works, as soon as this works are done, to come in and, you know, take care of these roads. But boom, immediately. Roads program, Green Mountain Road Service and Drainage. We're looking forward to this. Lakai Inner Road Service and Drainage. The drains will be done. We're looking forward to the surfacing of the road, to allow road surfacing and drainage, and also the Borough Bell road surfacing and drainage. Madam Speaker, the Denry Seaport upgrade. For some time now, since the demise of Bell Fashion, the fishermen are the ones keeping this community alive, and we want to help them out. It's time. We intend to construct a boat ramp and repair shop for maintenance and repair of the fishing vessel. We shall also undertake the complete fencing of the facility to improve security and control. We are in the process of building a community park just near the multi-purpose court in the village. This park will assist with family bonding, which is fast deteriorating within the community. Youth and Sports, Madam Speaker. I promise to a revival of sports in Denry South. It has begun, Madam Speaker. This is just a tip of the iceberg too. I am pleased to report that on any given day you can witness cricket, football and basketball in play concurrently at the various facilities in Denry Village. This is just the beginning. Netball, athletics and volleyball, etc. are not forgotten. Lakai Lime, we will take care of you. You have a court to complete in Lakai. Hopefully we'll get this done as quickly as we can. Future intervention. Curb structure and administration. Madam Speaker, it is also my intention to continue to provide support to the Youth and Sports Council and other clubs and sporting organizations within the constituency. We will move speedily to light and fence the Denry football field. This is how you're going to protect the playing surface, and this is how you're going to be able to maintain it. If you fence it, You can collect a little revenue and everybody can be happy. An allocation is made in the budget for the lighting of this facility. I spoke of the Lakai Multipurpose Court. I intend to complete the external works, including surfacing, lighting, and provision of plain amenities, backboards, netball poles for the various sporting disciplines. Drinking water fund development, Madam Speaker. The development goal is the total development of the human potential within the general area. To optimum use and employment of all available resources, including human labor. I have engaged the Ministry of Economic Affairs to begin fashioning the vision of the Denry Waterfront. And some of the things we will do in this village, very quickly, we intend to move the current infant school from its present location because of a number of reasons. I'll mention two reasons there. The infant school is located in an area where there is a main road going right through it. You know, on either side of the school, we have the school. And we want to change that. This is not a place that the school should be. And no other playing facilities can be provided for the students. And would like to mention a third reason. The building that houses the students, oh my goodness, that is not where students should be going to school. Madam Speaker, it is intended to provide a blueprint of the potential development initiatives to be pursued to respond to food on Le Paradis and other tourism-related development within the Northeast Quadrant. I see the potential Rodney Bay in Denver. We have the aesthetics, the scenery, the people, we have the history, we have us a lot. I therefore call on my people of Denry South to dream with me as we journey to change this currency. You know, which where we want some US dollars and some pounds to start flowing in this area.
Honourable Member, you have 5 more minutes within which to complete the
report. Madam Speaker, in the short term alone, with this government, I intend to create the environment to facilitate the establishment of restaurants, guest houses, cafes, as well as the relocation of residents on High Street in that village. Increased recreation and entertainment, better town and architectural planning, lighting of the waterfront, beachfront, general improvement of the aesthetic of the community. Madam Speaker, I want to say a little on the Denry Hospital. We need to have a hospital down there, one that was totally destroyed by the former administration. From hospital to, I don't even know how to name it. But the most important thing, Madam Speaker, is to have emergency services at this facility. And we are recognizing that there might be a need for us to relocate this facility. So a state study like the Prime Minister said it's been conducted to know exactly what we're going to do with this. In conclusion, Madam Speaker, we know and understand that good governance and management is about adapting to change rapidly and skillfully. This is why this government is committed to orthographing its work with excellence. We will do it in a manner that is organized, dedicated, ruthlessly efficient, and focused. Well, unlike other governments, we were not treated fairly and squarely in this country. And this administration is dedicated to providing for its people the social amenities and the opportunities for them to succeed. Madam Speaker, I wish to express my thanks to the staff of the Ministry of Labour, Information and Broadcasting for the support and collaboration. Foremost, Madam Speaker, I want to sincerely from the people of Denry South for giving me the opportunity to lead them to prosperity. Thank you so much. And may God continue to guide you through life. Madam Speaker, I am in full support of the appropriation bill 2008-2009. I thank you.